Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowner with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade addicts pie. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am John McGlynn, and I have a huge trading problem, and it's not a good one.
That's okay. We're here to fix it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to session 355 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if we will, and we will. And welcome, everyone, to the new era, the Russless era. I'm in the seat, and I got Rocky here with me as usual. And joining us for our maiden voyage is John McGlynn. John, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I am John McGlynn. You can find me at JohnMcGlynn75 on X, because that was my football number from, like, fourth grade all the way through college. Like, you know, that was my... That was my jam. So JohnMcGlynn75 is my email, my whatever, everything known to man is 75. So somebody's gonna steal my shit. That's all I gotta do is JohnMcGlynn75, and you got all my information. So
there you go.
But I started my Dynasty Evaluation Show. It used to be called Commissioner Evaluation because I run a bunch of home leagues in the Chicagoland area with a lot of content creators, podcasters, guys who write articles. You know, it's not your typical league with like grandma and grandpa and your mom and dad and sisters and brothers and stuff like that. It's all like Paffus Morris and my, you know, Mike Tagliere, guys like that were all in my leagues. You know, they're still filled with tons of guys like that are, you know, a lot of good dudes from the Chicagoland area that are all you see on Twitter and fantasy football articles, you know, all kind of stuff. So I do that, and I turn it to Dynasty Evaluation because I think a lot of people thought it was just a commissioner-based show and didn't really pay attention. So got a lot more traction since then, but I did it probably about a year ago. I started Dynasty Evaluation, and I had to rebrand the whole thing. So starting from scratch, new followers, new stuff, but I have a lot of good guests. I'm doing rookie profiles right now. I'm trying to get about 42 of them done before the NFL draft. I'm at about, I think, 18 right now or 19. So just talking about rookies. So the good, the bad, the ugly about all the rookies that are coming in for this year's NFL draft. I'll be going to Combine next week with a bunch of awesome people from the industry. I usually travel for the NFL draft. This year it's in Green Bay. I've been to Green Bay about 15 times in my life. There's not really much to do there outside of like getting smoked meats on the way to the stadium. And then there's like a shopping mall and a parking lot. And there's a stadium that's surrounded by houses, you know? So I only live a couple hours from Green Bay. So it's a good time, but the stadium itself is a good time. There's not much to do outside of there. So it's, you get a hotel and drink with your buddies in the pool and shit like that. That's kind of all there is to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So I'm probably not going to that one, but I've been to the last, I think, 8 drafts in a row. So I missed the one in Kansas City. I missed that one. But I've been to one downtown Chicago. I was at both of them. I worked right across the street at the Art Institute. I was working there when the shit was going on. I saw him pull the first truck up and the last truck leave the whole entire time. I was there every day for the entire drafts. I was in Cleveland. I was in Tennessee. I was in everywhere for these drafts. I love doing the NFL draft stuff. So I make my own sheet. I try to guess the draft. I usually get about 4 people right the entire first round. So that's it's hard to do. It's a lot harder than people think.
It's better than some of the other mocks.
I was going to say Michael Penix went at 8 last year. So I don't think anyone's getting it right.
Yeah. So it's fun to do, just, you know, and then all my buddies who don't do it at all just laugh at me all the time. And that's fine. I'm just used to it at this point in time. It's almost like I'm a comedian at this point in time. So it's all good stuff from the Chicagoland area. Frank in the chat. It's nice. I offered a spot in my latest Dynasty Dynasty home lead to Frank, and he's like, nah, I'm in enough leagues already. I'm in 35 leagues, so I can't, I mean, I know Scott Sidlow, one of my league mates, is in like 175 leagues, and my co-host JT is in like 86 leagues, you know, and then, you know, it's setting lineups like that is, it becomes like a job sometimes. I set my shit when I can, and I do what I can, but every once in a while, you know, like, hey, it's nice they had like on Fantrax for the football, but you can when you do the college, you can set your guys. Now Sleeper came out this year. I did not implement it because I wasn't sure like how it was going to work out year one. I don't want the nightmares of a commissioner to have to go back and change everything. So next year we will be implementing some leagues, but it's good stuff. But I probably talked too much already, so go on with the show.
No, it's perfect. And yeah, I unfortunately did turn John down, as I've told a couple of other people. I get married in the fall, so once it's harder for her to leave me, then I'll start adding some leagues again. So
are you sure you want to do that yet, buddy? I'm,
yeah,
25 years this year, I got four kids. I can tell you all the good stuff and the bad stuff about marriage, right?
I'm ready. We'll get into some combine stuff in a little bit. First, I just quick, do you go to St. Elmo's and all that stuff? Do you do the full combine experience when you go,
John? This is my first time at the combine. So
okay.
I've never been in a combine before. I've been to all the drafts. I've never been in a combine, but I've been to Indianapolis about 7 or 8 times. I just went to the Indianapolis Buffalo game, probably 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. Indianapolis is a great time. Mm-hmm. We're going to go there. We were trying to get press passes. They haven't been released yet, but, I mean, I could have a good time at an insurance seminar, so I don't really give a shit, you know, but it's we'll figure it out. But there's going to be a lot of good people down there. There's tons of bars, tons of restaurants, tons of good time, tons of good people. So I'll have a good time in Indianapolis. I'm hoping for a press pass. Me and Nick Hoover, Hoove Tube, I don't know if you know him from we're driving together. Probably the most, it's kind of planned right now. And then like my co-host Justin Taylor is going to meet us down there. And a lot of other people from the industry will be there too, but we'll have a good time, man. Things start early. They end early. A lot of good time to go out and get steaks and chops and everything else and 100,000 beers, and we'll figure it out.
Love it. All right, let's get into the news. We'll get into combine stuff in a little bit. Obviously, the news of the weekend was T. Higgins is going to be franchise tagged, at least for now, is kind of the way I've been reading it. If they keep him on it, it'll pay him $26 million, basically, per over the cap. Lots of teams affected by this move, but a trade basically isn't ruled out yet. So, John, I guess multiple questions for you. Do you think he stays on the tag? Do you think he's extended, or do you think he's traded? And then we'll get into the kind of the ripple effects here.
The tag is the trap. Yeah. You got him. All right. He's not going anywhere. Yep. We got some time to work some stuff out.
You can't tamper.
That's right. He's like, oh, damn. And it's not a bad thing to get paid. How much are you getting paid? 19, 21? What is it?
26.
$26 million. I mean, it's really not a bad deal. The problem with the tag is that if you get hurt when you're on the tag, you're screwing yourself for the next year or a long-term contract. But Joe Burrow, he wants his guys. You can see what happens. They need to figure out the defensive side of the ball, not the offensive side of the ball. They need to pay their players. But when every player is getting the max contract, it's kind of hard to build a defense around that when everybody's getting paid. But it is what it is. I mean, but you got your guy. You tagged him. If you got to tag and trade him, it is what it is. There's a lot of good receivers out there, but it's hard to replace tier one players that are your second and third receiver on your team. But Joe Burrow wants him. They're probably going to make it happen. I'm happy they're doing it, but they're going to have to do some kind of long term contract because of it. So I'm happy. I'm not a Bengals fan, but I'm just happy to see that they're doing the best they can to keep the team together. Yep.
Correction. It's hard to build a defense when you have two top end receivers unless you're Howie Roseman.
Right. And congratulations to you, Rocky, on the I just got off the my last show was with Michael Bowers, another Eagles fan. All of us are super happy that you guys got to enjoy that. I think the biggest part for me is my mom was a huge Patrick Mahomes fan, and she was rooting for Patrick Mahomes again, but they can't win. At some point in time, you got to lose. And it's so nice to see Saquon Barkley finally get somewhere. And he's such a nice guy, he's such a workhorse, he's a team player. Never really talked, crap about nobody. Did his job, and to go somewhere and be, even though they tried to get him the ball 100,000 times in the Super Bowl, it just didn't work out because the Chiefs focused on him with the ball in his hands.
Numbers, but if you don't think he had an effect on that game, he absolutely did.
Absolutely, they focused. The entire defense was like, "Stop Saquon, and we'll figure out the rest." Well, the Eagles figured out the rest. They scored a ton of points, and it was like before they got punched in the face a couple more too many times before they figured out how to stop the rest of the team. So. Saquon was definitely the key for the Super Bowl victory there. But congratulations on the Super Bowl victory, Rock.
Yeah, thanks. It's pretty exciting. It's funny that the two Super Bowls the Eagles have won have been over Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. I still can't get over that. But well, we were talking about T. Higgins, I think. We kind of got off track there.
Yeah, but Rockward, do you think he's a Bengal? As we, let's say we start week one, what team is he on? Is he a Bengal, or do you think they trade him?
I actually think he might be a Bengal. I think they're trying to keep Burrow happy.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's super important for the organization. I mean, it's probably not the best idea. They probably are better off letting him go. I don't think he plays on the tag. I think they absolutely extend him. But I think they're trying to keep both guys and Burrow. And I think that's just, like I said, unless you have Howie, that's going to handicap that team in terms of the defense. And in terms of doing a lot, I mean, that's going to be so much. I mean, Chase is going to make so much money, too. So, I think it's a bad idea, but I think that's what they're going to do. And then maybe that's because they're the Bengals. I think that, I don't know, but
yeah. And this is what I posted in the Discord when the news came out. I'm like, they're just going to have to outscore people 42 to 41 every week.
100% correct.
Which is great. That's great. Burrow's. Ooh, here's a question. Is Burrow top three now in Dynasty?
He's Lamar and Allen. Definitely top five.
There still, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, let's say they keep Higgins and nothing changes about the offense.
I think he's
obviously Burrow and Allen, right? Or not Burrow and Lamar and Allen.
Yeah, it basically comes down to like where you want to put Mahomes and Jaden. Yeah, I still think people are, at least you and Russ, are downgrading Mahomes a little too much, but
that's fine.
I mean, he's going to have Rice and Worthy next year, who both look good. So,
you taking him over to Josh Allen?
I'm not taking him
over. Are you taking him over to Lamar Jackson?
No.
Jalen Hurts?
That's interesting.
Jaden Daniels?
I'd probably take him over Jaden just because he can't do that again.
So, he's probably, let's just say, he's probably like quarterback 4 or 5 in some people's eyes. So I take him over Mahomes at this point in time. I take him over Stroud, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, so he's probably quarterback 4, let's just say.
Yeah, I think it's how you feel about Hurts. And sure. I am in the boat, and I think Rocky's there too, of Saquon can't do that again. Hurts is going to have to throw a little bit more next year. And if that's the case, then he's probably QB3, but it's close.
The big question is, would you take him over like Shador or Cam Ward?
Yes, 100%. I hate the QBs in this class.
Everybody does, yeah.
Yeah. Well, lots to do. I was trying to think who's the biggest affected with Higgins now staying? Is it Godwin who gets the biggest paycheck now?
I mean, Godwin might not be healthy for the beginning of the season, so I mean, I wouldn't rush to that. I love Chris Godwin. I am. If I can get a tattoo of any player in the NFL, it would be Chris Godwin or DJ Moore, kind of stuff like that. I mean, after Josh Allen won, you know, that kind of stuff. But I love Chris Godwin. He's going to get paid somewhere, but he's already 29. So, I mean, and he's hurt coming into the season. He may not be 100% because this is an injury-plagued player that, you know, I traded him away in a bunch of leagues last year because of the fact that he is kind of injury. Who knows how a 29-year-old kid's going to come back from an injury like that again. So, I would think he's going to get the most money, but who knows? It could be. Why am I blanking on the Jaguars receiver? What the shit?
In terms of trading, or
in terms of like a free agency,
Allen Robinson.
No, this year.
This year, Calvin Ridley.
No.
He's from.
Jeez, why am I? I'll talk about it. But anyway, go ahead. Okay. I'll get back to him. But
I think, honestly, the people most affected are probably these trade candidates, right? The Cups, the Debos, the DK. That smoke has been turned down a little bit. But because it sounds like, and I didn't put this in the news because it's all speculation, it sounds like Lockett's going to either restructure or get cut. So maybe that affects DK. Although it sounds like they just want to like cut all their receivers and spend a bunch of money on the line. So who knows?
Christian Kirk is who I was relating to.
Because Kirk, that's it. Yeah.
So
the guy who broke it.
Yeah. So he may be one of the top candidates possibly this year.
Mm-hmm. I told Rocky I wasn't going to keep talking about this guy, but Aaron Rodgers apparently told the Jets when they called him in that he intends to play in 2025. I was looking at the odds. The Steelers are still the favorite, and I can hear Pittsburgh groaning right now at that, because surprisingly, like, every Pittsburgh fan I've talked to wants Fields back.
Yes.
And they're like, we want to run it with him. And yes. Sure. I guess that, like, I have a good friend who's a Steelers fan. He's like, I want Fields and I want Jalen Warren and I want no Najee and nothing else. I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So
I just don't see Pittsburgh wanting to deal with Aaron Rodgers.
It doesn't, I don't, seem either.
The kind of organization,
especially when Tomlin's kind of guy in, yeah, on the hot seat. You know,
yeah,
we don't think he's actually on the hot seat, but this.
Yeah, I just don't see. I don't think Aaron Rodgers went in and said, I'm gonna try and go somewhere else. I think they said, hey, listen, buddy, we brought everything you asked for in this team, and you failed, like, yes, absolutely failed. So we don't want you here anymore. Go away. We're done with this experiment. Go figure it out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know where he's gonna go. I was trying to think of teams. Not
Tennessee is probably my. Well, I think they're gonna bring
Tennessee
him in there.
Tennessee is a good one. Yeah, I like Darnold to go to Tennessee. Sense. I was looking at the odds. The Raiders are second. Titans are third. Niners are fourth for some reason. I guess just not extending Purdy. But
they're talking about trading Purdy. Yeah, it's kind of a big Rumorville thing right now.
Rocky's going to be right about that 3 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, it would make sense rather than paying him $50 million.
He's going to go to the Colts for like $50 million and suck.
You can't have a game manager at $50 million. You have to have
I know.
That
kind right. of Cowboys. Well, the Cowboys can, but they did it wrong.
That's what he's going to want.
Yeah, right.
Right.
The last bit of news, I think we kind of saw this coming, but Mostert was cut. John, did you like is it Samuel?
Jalen Wright, baby.
Jalen Wright
time. That's right. Jalen Wright. That's my boy. I traded for him in like seven drafts last year at like 206, 207, 208 is kind of area like that. You know, I traded I flip a pick from like 208 or 209 or something like that to get to like 207, and like a third 309 or 402 or something like that to get Jalen Wright. And I knew that it was going to take time because they have so much running. And I'm not a big A-Chan fan, so I just, I like A-Chan. I mean, he has a job. He's sparked, but at some point in time, he's going to come back to earth, and Jalen Wright's going to take over. I think Jalen Wright's just a little too good to be kind of on the back burner like he's been in Miami so far.
Yeah. So funny, every time I say Jalen Wright, I think of Jalen Samuels, who was like some no name for the Steelers 5 years ago, and for some reason I can't get that out. I kind of teased this, John, given we have the combine next week and you're a big rookie focus right now, who are some of the guys you're excited to see test next week? And I have some names, and Rocky will kind of throw some in as we go, but who are you excited to see? You know, you've watched their film, but you got to see them go to the underwear Olympics for 3 days and watch them test.
I just want, quarterback wise, I want to see Jackson Dart. Okay. That's probably the only person I really care about as far as that. I'm not a Shedeur Sanders fan. I like Cam Ward, but I think he's a developmental player. Not a Milrow fan at all. Not a Quinn Ewers fan. Carson Beck, Dylan Gabriel, all those guys. Like, I've heard some Cade Klubnik kind of like, I'm like, get out of here. Jackson Dart is kind of someone I want to see as far as that goes. Running backs. Yes, all 12 of them. I want to see them all.
Yeah,
100%. It's going to be absolutely awesome to see all these, from Genty to Hampton to Caleb Johnson. I mean, Travion Henderson. Some people have Quinshon Judson and Dalen Sampson like interchangeable. Cam Scadaboo is going to be a day three pick. People expect him to go in round two. It's not going to happen. He's gonna be like a day. He'll be like a fourth or fifth round pick, probably in reality. Probably a fourth round pick, to be honest with you.
Okay.
There's so many good players that are even back. Damian Martinez and RJ Harvey and Ollie Gordon, you know, stuff like that. There's so many good players in this draft. There's probably 20 good rookies. If this is a draft to trade for late third, early fourth, and fifth round picks in your rookie draft, because you can get some steals. Devin Neal is, just guys that you don't even heard. Like, some people have even heard of, like, Devin Neal. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's so many good players in this draft. Rashard Smith is absolutely wonderful. And wide receivers wise, Luther Burden's my number one. He's Tets behind. I would honestly say right now it's getting to a point where I'm like, Luther Burden's probably my number one, and Emeka Buka, and then Tet is probably the wide receiver three. There's a lot of guys gaining traction, like Matthew Golden.
That's a name I've heard a ton of is Golden right now across shows.
Yeah. I mean, he's been on fire last couple years in college, just, you know, 68% catch rate, just a bully kind of guy, you know. There's a lot of Xavier Restrepo from Miami. Jack Beck is a guy I really like in, like, later rounds. And I'll tell you what, my sleeper in this draft is Jaden Higgins. I think Jaden Higgins is probably a guy. I mean, he's been on Twitter a lot lately also, but I think Jaden Higgins is probably just – he's like a mirror image of Ted McMillan. Mm-hmm. And people, and I mean, if you can have Ted McMillan at 11 spots later in your rookie draft, why wouldn't you do that? So there's a couple good. Jalen Noel is a good one to watch out for too. Nick Nash is like 32 years old, but he's a good producer. he probably won't even be drafted this year. That kind of stuff. But Ricky White is a guy way down the board. You can get your third round.
That's
your rookie
Zach Reed's too. Guy. I know this year. That's his favorite.
Yeah, there's some Ja'Cory Brooks is someone from Louisville. Another guy that like some people like a lot too. There's a lot of good. This is not a draft really to kind of like pass up on everybody, but as far as tight ends go, we'll go there too. Like Tyler Warren is obviously the by far number one. I have Harold Fannin like five of my C2C leagues. He's going to come out this year. I think he's going to be like a Mike Gesicki. I think he's not going to really pan out to be anything. Elijah Arroyo is probably my number two tight end. And then Colson Loveland is like number three. So there's another after that, Aronde Gadsden is down the board, a lot of people's boards. He's probably my number four tight end. So, it's a great year for rookies. I think people who traded away all their picks because they keep hearing oh my God, it's such a bad rookie class. It's not.
No, you know, it's deep this year.
I hope you kept some picks or you traded away, or over this offseason, try and get some second round picks for, players that somebody's interested in. I my favorite hobby is spam my league every day with some other player. And every go to this league and I'll send it the same 201, 202, 203, whatever it is for every, it's the off season. What else you got to do but send stupid trades all the time? You know, this is my favorite hobby. It's being an asshole in my leagues. You know, so
yeah. I think that it's a bad draft thing is because there's not a lot of like top end talent.
Correct.
But it's a lot deeper draft, especially. And that's the other thing. We're all in super flex circles, and it's a bad quarterback draft, and so that makes it a bad draft for a lot of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As far as the combine, I've said this many times. I don't get that into the combine or I don't have any particular guys I care about seeing test. The main takeaway I take, well, two things. One is I like to see how the tight ends do just because from people much smarter than me, athleticism tends to correlate a lot more with tight ends than some of the other positions in terms of testing and stuff like that. And then the other thing is how it's going to affect draft capital. Like that's the main thing I take away from it because even if I don't care that much, I know the NFL cares how these guys test. But I know that, we see guys test bad. The one always sticks out to me is Kyron Williams was a decently high-end prospect.
It was slow.
Bombed the combine. Yeah.
He
bombed the 40. And then he got his chance in the league. He actually was what everybody, a lot of the film, people thought that he was going to be good. And he was. So prior to the combine. So. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's the main thing for me is kind of the guys on the. I more look to see somebody who underperformed because that's probably going to knock a day two guy into day three or something like that. Somebody like a Kyron Williams.
Yeah, my biggest thing is if you have guys right now that you like and you have like you're kind of sold on how were these players read, how they did in college. Elijah Arroyo made a big, everybody opened their eyes because of what he did at the Shrine Bowl, but he looked good. If you watch him at Miami, he made some really good plays. I mean, he had like five or six, like really like chunk yards plays, but man, he looked good for a guy that's that big to move that fast. And he blocks pretty well too. So that's huge for a tight end. Mm-hmm. But if you like a guy right now, don't, because of the fact that he ran a slow 40 or he did this and that, don't follow the sheep that say, oh, now he's a 102 or 103 because of the fact what is a big deal is draft capital and draft landing spot. It's not like it's not like CEH going to the Chiefs kind of like, oh my God, it's the craziest thing in the world. But let's just say Caleb Johnson goes to the Cowboys.
Patriots.
I mean, everybody has Austin Jeanty. Austin Jeanty, just in case everybody didn't know. Jerry Jones already has a plane ready for him to get shipped into the Cowboys land. It's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say somebody trades up in front of the Cowboys to get Austin Jeanty. What's going to happen? They need a running back. They're going to take Amarian Hampton. They're going to take, you know, Caleb Johnson. They're going to take something like that. It's going. They're going to get a running back somewhere. Maybe not in round one, but maybe in round two, which even be better for the Cowboys if they can get like a premier defender or something like that, and then be able to get a good running back in the second round. That'd be great. Or trade up in the first, later in the first, or something like that. But I just feel like there's it's one of those years.
Yep. So as I take a step back on this, I think some of the players I had in my head, I agree with John. I like the Iowa State guys, Noel and Higgins. Fannin is my dude this year.
He's so good in college.
I secretly want him to kind of suck at the combine because he's going to skyrocket up boards when he tests really well. Warren's going to be that freak that scares the combine. He's going to, like, you know, do the bench press 150 times and run a 4.5 just because he's that kind of animal.
Yeah, but he's like 25 years older, and it's a problem.
I know, but I don't think people will care. I think that is the next version of what Taysom Hill was, and I think that people are going to want that.
He's a lot better than Taysom Hill.
Yeah, well, yes. Just skill set wise, I mean, he can play like seven positions. And then the last guy I was thinking of was that one guy you didn't say. I don't know, maybe you did. He's all over the Twitter screen right now. Wide receiver is Jalen Royals.
Oh yeah, Jalen Royal. Yeah, you know, another guy that people are going nuts over right now, and I'm really not.
I mean, he was like a first round pick in a rookie mock I saw a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's up there now.
Yeah, who is the other? Dorian Singer is a guy from Utah. He's another guy everybody's kind of going
Torrey nuts Horton's about. Colorado State.
Torrey Horton, the Rams, baby. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's a good one. Who's the why can't I find him right now? Hold on. The absolute Savion Williams. Mm-hmm. So Savion Williams, remember a guy like Jalen Camp like 5 or 6 years ago when he was coming out? I mean, Savion Williams he benches like 300, like 400 pounds, like 300 pounds, something like that. Mm-hmm. He does all the. He's like an absolute freak, you know. So he's 6'5". He runs a 4.4, like a 4.4 240. He's a fifth year player, but he's huge and strong. Played quarterback in high school. Plays running back. Plays everything. He's an all around athlete. He's an absolute freak, but his route tree is not that good. He's a good like at red zone kind of player, you know. But I just think that he's like DK Metcalf, but like what we saw is DK Metcalf. But right. I don't think he brings like the good, like DK Metcalf's an absolute beast. I think Savion Williams is just an athlete, you know, that, and you got to watch out for guys who are just athletes.
Yep. And the other guy who people have been whispering in my ears is Trey Harris, who everyone seems to love a lot of steam.
Yeah.
Yep. I think kind of my last takeaway is this will be huge for the quarterbacks. I think Shadur and Cam both should throw. I don't know if they will, but they should. I think that will mean a lot because Shadur had Hunter, who I didn't even mention, is going in as a corner and not a wide receiver, which I think is important. And I struggle with what the QBs are going to be because I think Shadur is good and he's very athletic. I think I would question his, you know, ability to make throws in certain places. I agree with John that Ward is kind of a development. Dart, I don't love as much as everyone else. I've watched him too much in college throw Derek Carr hospital balls to receivers that are just really good. So I think the big takeaway will be that this draft is still deep. Rocky, I know you and I think I'm going to speak for you for a second. I might be wrong, so correct me, but you and I are both big fans of trading back, and I feel like this is a great draft to trade back. Like, if you have the 108, you can go to the 2-1 with another pick. Like, what do you think of that kind of as we
get closer? Oh, yeah, I definitely agree, because exactly what we were saying before, that if especially, you know, if the one elite talent potentially at the top of the draft, I think, is probably Genty, and then everyone else says question marks to me. So, and I'm still kind of early in my stuff, and I don't know nearly as much as someone like John does. But
I mean, look at guys like Amarian Hampton. Like he's second in receiving yards, only behind the kid from Arizona. So, like, I'm not. I mean, if we're talking about PPR leagues, you're looking at a guy, he's behind Cam Scadaboo. I couldn't remember his name for a second, but second in receiving yards behind Scadaboo, and he's 220, 6 foot tall. The problem with Caleb Johnson is, like we were talking about them before, he's really good, but every time he runs the ball, it's like the part of the Red Seas. He's going to break an arm tackles, but every time he's got contact, he gets brought down. Hanton is just a guy, he's a power guy that catches the ball in the backfield. I mean, he's my number two by far.
But yeah, I was just what you were saying, Frank. I agree. I like the idea of trading back in this draft if you're not in the first pick or two. And if you can get, like, you know, multiple, like late end first or mid to late first, something like that. Yeah. Oh, if somebody wants to come up and get their guy.
Yeah. That was the other thing I was thinking of is it's not going to affect his position, but I can't wait to watch Tet test. He's going to, like, jump out of the building on the vert and everything else. I mean, he's just a freak. But
Russ will get all excited.
I know. And take him 102. Russ is going to take a guy like Scadaboo because of his name.
Yeah, definitely.
100% because his name is Scadaboo.
Did you watch that game against Texas, Scadaboo? Yes. When he played that? Oh, man, that was like poetry in motion to watch that game.
Someone someone mocked him to like San Francisco to be the McCaffrey heir apparent, which I like. He can split with Mason.
No word. He's not McCaffrey.
No, of course not, but he can work that way. All right, John, on to the part where you get to decide, would you like to do trades or listener questions first?
I trade more than probably 85% of the planet, so I'm just going to – let's do listener questions because we'll come back to trading because – I don't even know. I can't even. My trades are kind of weak sauce because I trade so much. I'm not sure people even agree with them, but you know they're kind of like vanilla almost. So, go ahead. We'll do listener questions.
All right. So the first listener question is from Tone at TonyPerez34.bluesky.social. When are you okay with just letting a player or vet die on your roster? I have this problem currently with Adams, Tyreek, and Kupp. For me, if they have a superpower, I'm fine with it. Adams possesses the power to always get open. Tyreek with his speed. Kupp, I'm worried about because of injuries and no real power. So, John, when are you willing to kind of say, this guy's just going to die here on my roster? I'm not going to get enough for him. I'm just going to ride this out.
I think as a experienced dynasty guy, this is something I had to learn the hard way along for a while. I traded away guys like Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon and stuff like 3 years ago thinking, man, I better get out real fast before these guys lose all their value. And man, I just sit back watching the guys who I traded for, you know, a late second, early third that end up being, you know, nobody important and didn't work out. If you got someone who's, you know, he's the number one running back for a team. You know, he's the number one receiver for a team. He's a great talent. He's proved himself in the NFL. I'm going to re-roll right now, especially if you're in win now. Like, I mean, trading is an art because you have to understand where your team's at. Am I in win now? Am I in the middle? If you're making the playoffs, you're win now because all you got to do is make the playoffs and win two games. Or if you're going to buy, you got to win, you know, win three games. You know, if you're even a wild card, you can get lucky. I lost this year in my championship game. My team was stacked to the gills, but I lost all my quarterbacks. I lost because Aaron Rodgers got me negative 2 points in the championship game. I lost by, like I said, 6 points or 8 points or something like that. If you're in the playoffs, you're a win now team. Try to win. It's all about winning. You're not trying to win because, I got bragging rights. You're trying to win the money. You know, if you win first place, if you win your championship, you paid for the next 7 years of your league's fantasy football buy-ins. It's all about, it's about winning the money. It's about, I'm in 30 some leagues. To me, when you first start playing in a bunch of leagues, like everybody got into one league and they tried second league and like, man, this is getting to be too much. And it got to the point now where I kind of held back right after I got in three leagues, it was going to be too much for me. You have to think of each one of these as like a money-making opportunity. I won a lot of money last year in fantasy football because of the fact that anytime I made it was like a playoff-worthy team, I'm win now. I traded for win now stuff, traded draft picks away. You can always trade for draft picks next year and the entire off. You have the entire offseason. The day of the rookie draft, and all the stuff you're doing, you could trade for more picks again. You can always get picks back. I can trade Fab for a fourth-round pick. I can trade anything for anything. You can get that stuff back. Winning a championship right now, win now, you can't get that back anymore. You already lost because you threw the towel in. You got to go for it right now all the time. If you're obviously a team that's not going to make the playoffs, you're not win now. Then you can trade your assets for picks and kind of worry about your old trade away the Chris Godwins, trade away the Stephon Diggs, trade away the Cooper Kupp, stuff like that for a mid first or whatever. Somebody go for a bidding war. The three top three teams. What do you give me for Cooper Kupp? What do you give me for Stephon? Well, Diggs didn't play the rest, end of the season last year. What do you give me for Matt Stafford? What do you give me? Get your you have to know where you're at. I guess that's my biggest answer for that one. But keep your studs if you're in the playoffs until you lose, until you're not in the playoffs anymore, then you can trade them away. It is what it is. I mean, if you held Cooper Kupp the last couple of years, a lot of people got rid of him for nothing. Like, oh man, he's hurt. Puka Nacua is taking over. Oh, that's it. It's the end of. And look what happened. He came back and was an animal for a couple of weeks, and you missed out because you traded for a third round pick or something like that because you want to get him off your team. If you win now, be win now. That's all I'm going to say.
My answer to kind of tie in with what John just said there, and it doesn't have anything to do with like attributes to me. Like he's kind of inferring and implying in this question here. It basically is when they get to the point that they are now, these three guys specifically that he mentioned, but just in general, like when you have, especially formerly elite producers that are still producing, just maybe not that elite level, and they're older, and you're getting a second round pick for them, their production has exceeded their trade value to me, unless you're just in a complete rebuild, which is kind of what John was saying. If you think you're middling, I don't know that it's worth like. If you think you have a chance to make the playoffs, I don't know that it's worth trading Adams for a second, or which is basically what you're getting, or Kupp for a late second or something like that. And it applies to other guys. He has like, you know, you could get Connor for a second last year. You could get Mixon for a second last year. These are like top five, six, seven running. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, even going into last year, and then they produced as top five, six, seven running backs on a points per game basis. So, once these like formerly elite guys have kind of fallen to that second rounder range, and there's again a lot of these guys that I'm talking about are still producing, just not at their former level necessarily, then to me their points are exceeding their trade value to me, and at that point I'm fine letting them die on my roster. It's fine.
Frank, who do you want the most out here? Who would you want on your team right now going forward? Cooper Kupp, Adams, or Tyreek Hill?
Probably Adams, only because I think he could be a one for a little while. I don't think Kupp can be a one anymore. And I think Hill is a gimmick at this point. And that gimmick only lasts so long with the speed. I think Adams has something that you can do till you're 40, which is...
That's what I was going to say. I think you can really like Larry Fitzgerald. Like, not the exact same player, but...
100%.
Yeah. He's good. Awesome. He's running producing at some level well into his 30s if he wants to.
I think Kupp could have done that. I think he's hurt. I think he's been hurt.
That's the problem. Yeah.
His legs can hold that. Okay. On to Dylan. At making you viral. Damn right you are, Dylan. It's obviously a dead trade season, but what blue chip players are you trying to trade for, and what ones are you avoiding? I'm currently trying to package Garrett Wilson and Jameson Williams up to a better starter. I love Wilson, but you know how addicts are. Okay. I'll start. I love trading out of Jameson now. I think I said this a couple weeks ago. Jameson was my guy last year or last offseason, because you could get him for like a fourth round pick because everyone was so tired of him. And I think you can get out of him now. I still believe in Garrett Wilson, and I know that bandwagon is getting smaller by the day, but this is going to be the hill I die on with him, and I trust the talent. I at this current moment trust this Jets coaching staff, and I know that's a mistake as well, but they're saying all the right things in my mind, and I think in terms of who else I'm trading for, I think right now I'm trying to trade down and get more rookie picks right now, because I think, like we mentioned, I think the draft is deep and we can get a lot of chances at some blue chippers. But John, who are you thinking of right now?
I think the ship has already sailed on like guys like, let's just say ship has already sailed on some of the, like, my league neighbors are not getting him anymore, stuff like that. But there's, like, Caleb Williams is someone I'm trying to trade for in a super flex league because I think people are down on him.
John Green.
Who else?
There he goes.
Oh, there he is.
You
froze for a second. Seconds. You're back. Yeah.
Sorry about that. DJ Moore, AJ Brown. Like, yeah. You know, I know you said, like, Jameson Williams is not someone you're going after, but I think Jameson Williams has a ton of opportunity as far as that goes. I'm like, Mark Andrews is a guy who everybody doesn't like right now because I don't know what the Super Bowl people, they get in the heebie jeebies, but I'm going to say last year, guys who were in the rookie draft that didn't pan out so well. That's who I'm going after because of the fact that I want Marvin Harrison Jr., guys like that who people spent like a 103, 104 and think they could re-roll on. I'll trade my 101, 102, let's say like my 104, 105 plus like one of my like older players or somebody who's underperforming player. Like, I just sent a trade out today, actually, because I send trades out every day. That's kind of what I do, but I just sent a trade out for 104 and Trey Benson to get Marvin Harrison Jr. this morning. A lot of people think that there's a writing on the wall for Trey Benson to be the RB1 if something was to happen in Arizona. I do not. I'm kind of done with the Trey Benson experiment. So if I can trade a 104 and Trey Benson to get Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm going to do that 100 times in a row. So that those are the kind of trades I'm looking for.
I was trying to think that because I did not look at this question before you actually read it. So I was just trying to look at some names, looking at the ADP.
veteran QBs is always your answer. Like,
well, that was actually going to be my avoid answer. Is like, okay. I'm not paying for high end quarterbacks, but because he
has Trevor Lawrence, the guy I'm going after right now.
Yeah,
he did say blue chip players and who you're trying to trade for and who you're avoiding. So if I say, like, you know, Kyler Murray, that's not a blue chip player. So that's what I was trying to think of, and that's why I said I generally avoid it. We all know for years, ever since I've been on this podcast and before, I generally don't trade for the Josh Allen's, Lamar Jackson's. Yeah. I'd rather take the mid tier quarterbacks and try and make it work with them, which I usually am able to. In terms of a guy like that, I would be trading for. The one that stuck out to me when I was looking at the ADP for me would probably be Nico Collins, because I think he's like the lowest valued of what I consider the high end receivers. He's definitely a tier below a lot of these guys too in terms of you know, value and production. But I think he's a one. I think he's going to continue to be a one. You know, there were health issues last year. I also think Stroud's going to bounce back a little bit. He had a pretty big sophomore slump. But now he's pretty much the unquestioned one on his team, an NFL team, between the Dankell injury and Diggs probably leaving, I'm guessing. So I'm sure they'll probably bring – and they're going to bring other people in. They might draft somebody high, but I still think Nico Collins is going to be the one there for a good long while, and I think he's a little underrated in terms of how talented he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Devonta Smith is someone who I'm trying to trade for right now. He doesn't have a lot of good fantasy production, but if he ends up being number one because something happened to A.J. Brown, like, I think he could be a great pick. Guys like J.K. Dobbins, who might get a shot at, like, a full workload possibly in the future. I mean, there's guys like Tyrone Tracy who might get, you know, some competition, but like Josh Downs is somebody who I'm definitely going after. Like, he didn't have he's a great trade target right now. Josh Downs, I think, is an immensely superior, like, wide receiver that just didn't get, like, a lot of attention. You might have to hold him for another year until the quarterback situation is figured out, but he is a talent that I'm willing to hold for years so that could become the number one on that team.
Mm-hmm. And we can weave this into the next part of the question, which is talking about KTC's running back rankings. But because I have some running back targets, I'm not done with Breece Hall. If you can trade Achan into Breece Hall, do that. We are the Bucky Irving podcast, the official Bucky Irving podcast. But if you can trade out of that hype into someone like James Cook Plus, I would do that.
Can I ask you a question? What would you do right now with Ramondre Stevenson?
Nothing.
Come on.
Honestly,
he's locked in. Money talks, man. He's locked in for 2 years.
I know that,
years.
But I'm so scared. Like, Caleb Johnson's going there. That's my fear. Is like third round pick Caleb Johnson to the Patriots.
Man.
And Caleb Johnson don't fumble.
Caleb Johnson doesn't break tackles either.
I know that, but they're going to care about fumbling.
I agree. I think even a day two guy, there's a very good chance that even a round three guy, a very good chance he could take Ramondre's job.
Yes.
I hate to hear that. I know it's true, but I hate to hear.
Looking at KTCs, because Dylan highlighted that, quote unquote, it's bananas. Top 10 is Gibbs, Bijan, Genty at 3 already. Holy cow. Barkley at 4, Achan at 5, Brees 6, Bucky 7, JT 8, Kyron 9, and James Cook 10, and John's boy, Amarian Hampton, at number 11. So
doesn't seem that crazy to me.
It doesn't to me either. Achan's too high, but other than that.
I think you guys are too low on Achan, but that's just me.
I probably am, and that's okay. I'm okay to
Jalen Wright season.
What's funny is I wasn't super high on Achan coming into the league. But I've said this.
But the whole league, like, it's like the rising tide lifts all ships. The whole league has now sunk on Achan, so Rocky's now like standing. He hasn't moved, so he's higher than everyone.
He's produced. He's done nothing but produce. I don't know what you guys don't like about that.
Yeah. I think James Cook at 10 is too low. I think James Cook.
I do agree with Cook.
He might hold out this year, man.
I know. They'll figure him out. He's been too important to them. And like I said, Breece Hall at 6 is too low. He was RB1 a year ago, and I don't think we're 2 years ago, whatever.
What if the Bills straight up and get Amarian Hampton, who can catch the ball out of the backfield and run between the tackles?
Then I'll hate Cook. But until then, like, I
don't see why they would do that. Yeah,
I don't either, because they need so many other things. Defense. Yes.
And at some point, they have to stop risking Josh Allen's body too. Like,
yes,
Cook's basically taken over the running back spot. But if he can get more of the Josh Allen touches,
and they have Ray Davis, I think Ray Davis will continue.
That is true.
Ray Davis, baby. Yeah.
I think Ray Davis will grow into the Allen stop taking these hits kind of role, and Cook can kind of keep what he's doing. So I'm just looking down the list. Walker is probably too low if you believe in Kubiak. He's at 14. Chase Brown at 15 is like king upside. If he has the Bengals to himself, I mean, he's probably not going to, but that's real potential. John, is there anyone kind of on
draft another day two running back?
Probably, so but Moss is still there, right? For another year or two. So, I mean,
yeah, he's done.
Probably, but.
What were you asking me, John? Do I what?
Do you have anyone kind of running back wise who is underrated right now? I can give you a ranking if you have a name. But
in the NFL, Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah. We'll start with him.
Stevenson is still scrolling.
Where's Zach Charbonnet at?
Charbonnet's at 24.
Oh, he's underrated at 24. I love Zach Charbonnet. You know, you guys were talking about like you know, that's a whole that situation, you know, with K9, and you know, so Charbonnet is so underrated. I love
Charbonnet coming out too, but they just never give him the ball when Walker's healthy.
Yeah. But he can catch, he can run. He's so good as far as that goes. Like, you know, I want Braylon Allen to be a thing, but it's probably not going to happen. You know, Roshan is a guy. If the Bears don't take a running back in this year's draft, which everybody's got them already taking, you know, Caleb Johnson or something like that. If they don't take a running back and they go offensive line and defensive line like they should, Roshan Johnson, even though he's had concussion problems in the past, I think he's someone that I would love to have on my teams as far as that goes. Let's see.
I would like to apologize to all of John's league mates because he's about to send you a lot of trades. Ramondre Stevenson is 40 on each trade.
Yeah. Damn straight. What about Trey Benson? Like, where is he at? Because if something was to happen to James Conner,
he's 10 spots ahead of Stevenson.
Is he really?
30. Yeah. He's at 30. This is probably the bananas part that Dylan was talking about. I mean, Dobbins is 35.
Oh, wow.
Spears and Pollard are both in the 30s.
What about Kendre Miller?
Kendre is 57.
And then we just said Jalen Wright. Where is he at? Because he's somebody I'm definitely
right behind about. Stevenson at, you know, 42.
Okay, here's one that I'm kind of – I understand that Vegas is probably going to bring a running back in, but where's Sincere McCormick at right now? Because I traded away – like during the playoffs last year, I got an early second-round pick for Sincere McCormick. From
77.
I'm so glad I got rid of him at that point in time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even at 77, I don't want him on my team as far as that goes. Yeah, Will Shipley. What about Will Shipley if something was to happen to Saquon?
Oh, my computer's freaked out.
Because I love Will Shipley. 68. I love Kenny Gainwell and Will Shipley. It's kind of hard to kind of
68, okay. right above Martinez, Damian Martinez.
Ultimate buy low if you're in a rebuild right now is Jonathan Brooks. Where's he at?
30, I just saw him, 36.
No, he's not. I'd sell him at 36. But if I'm rebuilding and he fell, his value falls. Yeah. We'll talk about trades in a minute. But, man, I got caught in the ultimate sucker trap when he came back. So we'll talk about that later. But I'm buying Jonathan Brooks right now for sure.
We're going to talk about this guy a little bit later. But ETN's way too low at 27. I'm sorry. He is. ETN's going to be good again. Okay. Back to this stuff. And Rocky can take a 5-minute break. I asked, and I did this based on John's tweet.
One second. I just, so you guys know, I pulled a Rocky on the show. I had to go to the bathroom real fast because I had about 17 beers already for my last show.
So. No worries. I got this from John's tweet this morning asking about, he was going to Chick-fil-A breakfast for the first time. So I got this question off that asking, what is your favorite fast food breakfast? Because Chick-fil-A is mine. Favorite fast food breakfast. And what's your order? And Dylan's answer was the Almighty McGriddle. And I am not a McGriddle guy.
Neither am I.
It's too different. I don't like the pancake thing. It's just, it's not my thing. And then I will just touch on Jonathan real quick. Jonathan Smith at DFF_S Jonathan02 said, may sound strange, but I love the McDonald's sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin. And John and I both said, that's not weird at all. That's an awesome order. So, John, where are you at on the fast food breakfast? You dropped an answer this morning. I forgot what it was.
Here's my tiers, okay? First of all, I work a messed up schedule. I work days and nights every 4 days, 12-hour shifts, you know, reverse schedule, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every 4 days, kind of goes back and forth. So when I'm on midnights, I got about a 45-minute ride home. I get off work, and I pull in McDonald's drive-thru, and I get two sausage burritos and an egg McMuffin, which is, I think, the perfect breakfast. It's absolutely wonderful. Sausage McMuffins are awesome, but, again, they taste good. Which is my tier two, which is the, when you go to Burger King, you get the double for, it's $6. You get two sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwiches for $6. And they're big and they're awesome. And they taste like heaven going down your throat, in your mouth, going out in your stomach. You're great. The rest of the day, you feel like absolute dog shite, but it tastes so awesome. I tried Chick-fil-A for the first time today. Garbage. I got the wrong thing on the menu because I had a little bit too much chicken, too much poultry in one sandwich. Ooh. I had a chicken egg cheese biscuit, and it just didn't sit right. It was kind of like, there's got to be something better on the menu than that.
I just get straight chicken, like spicy chicken biscuit, no egg and all that stuff on it. That's my order.
So I need to re-rack and try that again, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
So that's my order, is one spicy chicken biscuit and hash brown is my Chick-fil-A order. Rocky, what's your food?
I told you, you're trolling me. As if I eat fast food breakfast.
Honestly, I thought this would actually be closer to your wheelhouse.
I did think you might think that because
I'm not asking your favorite 5-star Italian restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. But actually, I barely eat breakfast, let alone fast food breakfast. I eat plenty of fast food. I just don't get breakfast. Yeah. So I'm not an egg person. I don't get the egg McMuffins and all that stuff. So, I mean, the only thing I can ever even think that I've ever had from a fast food place is like McDonald's hotcakes and bacon or whatever. It's fine.
But big breakfast, buddy. Get with the fucking program.
Yeah, I don't really do breakfast in general. Like I wake up too late. I'm a night owl, and then I wake up and I don't really eat in the morning, and then I go off to work. And
yeah,
so yeah, and maybe I should stop and get a breakfast something from McDonald's on the way to work. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, then you get to be 5'11", 372 pounds like I am of nothing but pure muscle, you know. So.
All right, well, we can go to the Trade Addicts trade. So Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1. And we have a TA1 trade, and we're starting hot. We have Puka Nacua for Xavier Worthy and Sam Laporta. John, what do you think?
Okay, so I was never awesome enough to be in a Trade Addicts league. I guess one day I'll be on the preferred list of people who get to invited to Trade Addicts leagues, but they're all on DLF, right?
MFL, you mean?
MFL. Or MFL, yeah. I mean, they're all on MFL. Yeah, I don't do MFL, so I guess I'm never going to be on one. But the 0.75 tight end premium, and I like Xavier Worthy. I think he's a little bit underrated at this point in time. I know Puka Nacua is a tier one asset, but man, to get Sam Laporta, who doesn't produce very well when James Williams on the field with him for some reason, I'm not really sure what it is, but let me ask you another question. It's 12 team PPR. How many starting spots do you have and how deep is your roster?
10 starters. 32.
30. Yeah, 30 or 32.
I love that. The deeper the better, like she says. Yes. So, Puka Nacua for Worthy. I think I want Worthy in the Laporta. I think Worthy is an underrated asset. I really honestly do. I think he's not that he's that good, but I just think that he is the, like, you saw at the Super Bowl, he scored 2 touchdowns and like 50. He's capable of scoring 2 long touchdowns every game, at least one of every game, just because of the fact that the defense fell asleep and they sent Xavier Worthy on a fly route, and he burned everybody. He's capable of that every time. Now, Nacua is going to get volume, you know, and generally speaking, you want that guy who is going to get the most fantasy points per roster spot, and Nacua is probably going to be that, but what if you don't have a good tight end? You got a guy who's possibly going to score as many points as Puka Nacua on a weekly basis, and Xavier Worthy. And then you get a tight end on top there who's probably a top 3 or 4 tight end. I'm going to take the Xavier Worthy and Sam Laporta side here, and people might think I'm crazy for that.
I don't think you're crazy. I think it's pretty fair value-wise. I think I would lean Puka just because these are two guys I don't know how to value right now very well, is Xavier Worthy and Sam Laporta. I think I'm interested to see what Worthy looks like with Rice back in the offense. I mean, not that they play the same role, but he has been getting some decent volume over the second half of the year. Does that come down some when Rice is back? Because they were peppering Rice with a lot of targets.
What happens if they get rid of Stafford and Nacua's got to start with a new quarterback somewhere?
Or they draft a receiver, which is something I've heard more and more, is that,
well, Rams, he plays good with Cup on the field too.
That's so what I was going to say. Yeah. I just feel like, for me, I feel like I know what I'm getting in Puka Nacua. I think there's like a wide range of outcomes with both Worthy and Laporta, and it could pay off big time for the Worthy and Laporta side. But I'd rather take the given elite player in Puka, because I do think there's the potential that Worthy and Laporta are both go down in value next year. I think that's possible.
Yeah, first off, they'd be really stupid to trade Stafford. I don't get that whole rumor mill. I don't, like, they're not going to get what they want for him. They said, like, they want the Giants' first round pick for Stafford. Like, they're not going to get that. So that doesn't make any sense to me. But the realist in me says to take the tier down just because you don't know what's going on with Puka, but the actual me, who's now a heel and says tight ends don't matter, is taking Puka Nacua because tight ends don't matter and you don't know what Worthy's going to be. And you know,
and like what Puka's going to be. And I do think it's fair. And
By the way, even if Stafford's gone, they're bringing in Darnold or something. They're not going to like Stetson Bennett. So it's going to be a quarterback.
And I do think there's a world where the other side, like, booms next year, and this looks like,
this could look crazy.
Haul. Yeah.
Yes. But I would take the Puka side because tight ends don't matter.
What? Tight ends don't matter. Sam Laporta doesn't matter.
That's my new heel character is tight ends don't matter. they're all the same. Okay. TA5. I'm going to hate this trade. Mark Andrews and a 2026 fourth for Janu and the 205. John.
I didn't see any of these trades before right now. Yeah. So I'm going to say a 26 fourth. I mean, let's all be serious here. Okay. I love fourth round picks because I pick up tight ends in the fourth round.
Basically just Mark Andrews for John.
Yes. Yes.
They had to throw in the fourth though, in the words of Russ Fisher, they had to get that one. That's what got the deal done.
It is what it is. I mean, hey man, you could have got Puka Nacua the fourth round pick 2 years ago, you know? Thanks. So, I mean, things happen. They're very, very, very rare, but I like Isaiah Likely a little bit too much. I think he's going to start cutting more into Andrews' long-term value, but John Smith, he looks so good this year. I don't know what happened there with Waddle being hurt and Tyreek Hill kind of like being, I think something was going on with Tyreek Hill too. They ran the ball a ton. John Smith just happened to be the beneficiary of like a bad system, a bad coach that couldn't figure out how to be a guy who should have been just an offensive coordinator instead of a head coach. I'm going to take John in a 205, but it's going to hurt this. I don't like this one at all. This is
me neither. I wouldn't do this trade personally, but
I don't see the point of it. It's kind of the same thing almost. Yes, I think Andrews and John Smith are in the same tier. You're getting a 205 just because of the fact that I would just keep Andrews if I was that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's pretty easily Andrews. I just think he's a much more talented player than Johnny Smith. And I think what happened last year with Johnny Smith was a fluke. Johnny Smith had like no value before last year. And
don't matter.
Yeah. and Andrews had that weird start. I'm assuming he must have been injured and they weren't talking about it or something. Yeah. I don't know what the hell was going on. But and then the rest of the year, he mostly became Mark Andrews until he dropped the ball in the playoffs. But I mean, to me, he's just clearly a better asset to me than Johnny Smith is. And the 205 is not nothing, but no. I would still take Mark Andrews.
So let's just say you got Jackson Dart and where am I at here? Jackson Dart and John Lewis Smith for Mark Andrews. Would you take that in a super flex dynasty league? Like
no, because I don't like Dart, but that's if it was anyone else. Yeah.
So let's I'll go back and I'll talk. Okay. Let's just say you got Matthew Golden or Trey Harris I'm not a big fan of – I'm not a huge Jalen Royals guy, I guess, as far as that goes.
Samson. I like Dylan Samson.
Yeah, Samson or Rondae – I mean, I know you guys don't like tight ends, but Rondae Gaskins.
I would probably do that only for the pick because I've seen too many mocks where Tyler Warren's going to the Dolphins. So I'm scared of that for Jonnu.
Okay, let's just say you got Harold Fannin.
Yeah, no, done. Sign it up.
Travion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins fall to the middle of the second round. And you got a quarterback, you got a running back and Jonnu Smith for Mark Andrews.
Yeah. I would probably take depending on who it is, might just take that player over Mark Andrews, depending on the situation. And but that player won't be at the 205. So
how old is Mark Andrews? 29?
29, I think, yeah.
So yeah, I do understand that Jonnu Smith is – how old is Jonnu Smith? 27, right? 28? 27. Mm-hmm. So
– 29 also, actually.
Okay. I mean, they both have, what, probably 3 or 4 years left maybe? I mean, if they're both in the same tier
at this with point very different quarterbacks.
Yes, 100%. I can't stand Tua Tagovailoa. I just can't, so whatever. But anyway, next question.
So this is the same guy doing this twice, so I'll say that. But because I think J Mark is finally starting a rebuild, I don't want to put that out in the ether, but it seems like it.
He's just getting like picks for lesser assets.
Is this the same J Mike that traded for the entire first round like 2 years ago? That's rebuilding again,
and it's just happening again. As who knows,
he's not rebuilding. These are just like his like 16th and 17th players, so he gets perfect picks for them.
So that's how he keeps winning.
Yeah.
And that 16th or 17th best player was he traded Chase Brown in a 2026 second for a 2027 first.
I don't know where these second and first round picks are going to be right now. It's kind of hard. I think Chase Brown has if you're 27 first, you're rebuilding. Obviously, you're giving away a good, solid running back that had a pretty damn good year and probably might be the starting running back again. And you get a second round pick for what could be 27, 12.
Could be Jeremiah Smith.
Could be Jeremiah Smith. Yeah.
There you go.
Could be.
Probably not if it's J Mike's first.
Probably not.
Who's the running back? Who's the wide receiver for Alabama? That
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams. It could be Ryan Williams. I mean, that's yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it could be, or it could be a both. I guess you know. It all depends. This is with my hands off your league and not knowing where these people are at, what position they are, and how bad their team is, that kind of stuff. I am going to always like defer to the first round pick. But if I'm win now, I'm taking Chase Brown on a 26 second.
Mm-hmm.
I famously don't care that as much about firsts that are technically three drafts out at this point. Yeah. But I think I would take the first. I'm not a big Chase Brown guy, even though I know he produced well last year. I just don't think it's going to hold up.
Is that because you think they're going to draft someone else?
Yes. And also, again, given the context that I do have that this is J Mike basically just rolling what is essentially a bench player for him into future first round picks. I think it's a good move. So, but just based on the value alone, I think I would lean towards the first.
I think a lot of people, it kind of, they're not sure if their league's going to last next year, let alone 3 years out. So this is kind of like one of those things where, being in home leagues, I can replace players with somebody. I've had two people. Unfortunately, I had two people die in the last 3 years from my leagues. Last 4 years, Mike Tagliere died, and your guys, James the Brain, James Catullus, was one of my home league players too. Drove 2.5 hours from Wisconsin to come to my home league draft, shit like that. It's this stuff happens, but it's easy to replace players in a home league draft in a home league than it is in like an online league. So in the online league, I'm not sure that people would make that trade or it would really go through, or you have to pay your first. If you trade a first round pick in a lot of leagues, you got to pay your dues, the 25, the 26 and 27. So you're paying 3 years worth of drafts, 3 years of league dues just to make this trade happen. I'm not sure it's really going to happen, that kind of stuff.
I do want to say, I don't think it's like egregious or anything. I lean the first, but I get what they're doing. Like, you're getting an asset in theory for 2025, and you get something for 2026 for an asset in 2027. So
to give some context on what side I would take, I wasn't fast enough on this. He offered this like to four people, and I wasn't fast enough. He took like the first person to respond. I would have taken this trade. He offered this to me for my first, and I would have taken it. And because I got mad at missing that trade, I did the next trade, which is Travis Etienne for the 206 and a 27 second.
Because Frank loves players named Travis.
I do. Jordan Travis will be on my team any second now. John, what do you think of that trade? Did I panic?
I'm going to say, J. Mike, first of all, Skyline Chili is the worst chili on the planet. I better have Hormel Chili in a can than Skyline Chili. Just an FYI. You can stamp that one. But after that, next trade, Travis Etienne for 206 and a 27 second. This is a situation where Travis Etienne can easily be replaced in this year's draft. I'm kind of scared for Travis Etienne's long-term value, to be honest with you. I mean, 206 is – I spent a lot of 204, 206, 208 that turned into absolutely nothing the last couple of years. And the 27, so you got 2 seconds. If I'm winning now, I'm taking Travis Etienne. I'm gambling, I guess, but this is the wrong time of year to be trading for running backs right now, especially before pre-NFL draft. I don't know how long ago this trade happened, but
2 days ago.
Yeah. I'd rather have the picks in this. To be honest with you, I'd rather have the picks in Travis Etienne. I mean, I hear there's people who love Travis Etienne that want Travis Etienne on their team, and they see Travis Etienne, you know, pooping out rainbows all over the football field.
Yep,
and
that's people, me.
And there's rainbows. Other people who see Travis Etienne get replaced. So if I'm going to win now, I'll take Travis Etienne, I guess. But other than that, where I need a guy who's going to produce, and I cross my fingers he's going to produce, I'll take Etienne. But other than that, I'll take the pace.
I think I'm with John. Sorry, Frank. I can see a world where you draft a running back at the 206 and he's better than Travis Etienne. When I saw this trade, I went back and looked. He was really not good last year. Travis Etienne.
The whole offense wasn't good last year outside of
Brian Thomas. That is true,
but fair.
That's true, but they also, I don't know that it's going to get that much better. So, yeah. Because I think Trevor Lawrence is extremely overrated, but, and then
don't
you
have ever say that again when I'm in a podcast.
And then you had the 20, I mean, again, 2 years out, second, not that big of a deal to me.
Yeah.
But I think I would still lean the picks just because I don't have a lot of faith that Travis Etienne is going to turn around, isn't going to necessarily get more competition. I guess Tank's still there, so I don't know if they're going to draft another running back. But I still don't know that he's going to do that much better than this year. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Especially after hearing that Duval. So
Tank thinks he's nothing more than – yeah. Tank Bigsby's nothing more than an early down plotter. He's not going to be anything more than that. He's not cutting into Travis Etienne receiving work. If they don't draft a running back, Travis Etienne is his position is worth his weight in gold as far as a PPR back, for sure, 100%. I just feel like they're going to move on for Travis Etienne because he didn't show what they wanted him to. They couldn't depend on him last year. And, you know, hey, man, if you're here for a good time or you're here for a long time, you know, and he's not – he's not going to be here for a good time or a long time, and that's just the way I look at Travis Etienne.
So Travis Etienne is one of those guys who I'm just never going to quit. He, to me, and yes, I absolutely could be wrong on this, but to John's point, he would be way more expensive in 76 days or whenever the draft is, and they don't take someone. So for me, the 206 and a 27 second is the right amount of risk, especially considering I have some other picks in that draft and I can trade down and kind of fill in the gaps with that down the line. And I think as I adopted this team this offseason as part of my joining kind of the hosting position and stuff like that. But this team is closer to competing than rebuilding. It's got, you know, Lamar and Dak and Rice and, this was the one where I traded BTJ for Amon-Ra and DK and stuff like, so this team's ready to go. And I think to have someone like Etienne, where at worst he's an RB2 and at best he's top 10 RB. Yeah. I'll take that risk at 206 and 27 seconds.
What happens if they take Quinshon Judkins?
Then that's fine, and that was a burned pick, but I have other picks in that draft. I felt that Etienne still has juice, and there's too many people comparing him to Bucky for it not to be real for me. There's too many people in and out of that building saying they like him.
Just to be fair, you said it worse than RB2. He was RB42 in points per game last.
Yeah, I don't think Bigsby will be featured as much. I think he's going to be like Sean Tucker or something like that.
If you're competing with Tank Bigsby for fantasy points, then there's something wrong, man. I mean, you can't. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's an RB4 with Tank Bigsby, who's just nothing but an early down plotter. I don't see like the love.
Well, we'll see. I'm happy to take the risk, and if it happens, it happens. The last one in back to tight ends not mattering. Sam Laporta and the 207 for Xavier Worthy and the king of tight ends don't matter, Kyle Pitts.
Funny, we had two trades before they imported them, but they're on different sides this time.
Yes. John, what do you think of this one?
I'm in the C2C league. I just traded a Devi depleted, like 108 and a 206, like my 108 and my 206, which were somebody else's pick, to get Kyle Pitts. And the Devi depleted draft, people hate Kyle Pitts right now, dude. I don't know what's his name. Who's the guy from Football Guys? Dave Kluge just said the guy's like 19 years old and everybody's giving up on him already. Like he's garbage, you know. Like I don't think. I guess at 207, I could probably still get Elijah Arroyo. So let's just say Sam Laporta. Oh, I don't know. I guess you wouldn't take Sam Laporta and Elijah Arroyo at that point in time. But Xavier Worthy and so let's just say who's a running back, or you can get a good running back at 207. So Sam Laporta and Kyle Pitts are light years apart right now as far as value is concerned.
Damian Martinez at 207, maybe?
He's going to be later than that, probably. But I would rather have Xavier Worthy than Damian Martinez. Okay, just plug in a guy at 207, okay? Mm-hmm. So Sam Laporta is cross. Sam Laporta, the value of Sam Laporta compared to Kyle Pitts is like tight end one or two or three probably to tight end like 16 or 14 or something like that. So where do I make up the ground for Xavier Worthy in a second round pick? It's not going to happen because Xavier Worthy, we already talked about before, has a possibility of like possibly scoring more points per game than Puka Nacua sometimes. So who at 207 am I going to get that's going to make up this deficiency from Kyle Pitts? I'm just going to keep Laporta at this point in time, I guess. So, I mean, not going to happen.
You go first, Frank. I don't know what I think on this one.
I probably take Laporta in the pick. Just the pick can be anything. The only thing that would make me take Worthy is if you told me Rice is going to get suspended for any decent amount of time. But I have a lot of faith that the NFL is going to do basically nothing. They're going to suspend him like three games and we'll be fine. But I would probably take Laporta just because he's on the better offense. But it's kind of a wash for me.
If I can get, if I could really honestly get somebody like Jaden Higgins at that spot, like why wouldn't I just keep that? Well, I like Jaden Higgins a lot, but I'd rather have Xavier Worthy than Jaden Higgins. And it doesn't make up the deficiency. I don't know. That's just the way I don't understand that trade. It baffles my mind a little bit.
Yeah, I said this about the other trade that had those two guys in it, and this is the same thing. There's like so many like this is the variation here on these guys is like crazy on like everything in here. Even the 207, it could be something great. You don't know. Yeah. But especially the other three guys. Kyle Pitts is almost somebody I can't give up on.
I can't either.
But who's going to be saying about ETN?
Who's going to outscore Worthy that much in the same pairing with Laporta that's going to make this trade worthy for that guy? You know, who's going to be that big of a producer at 207 that's going to outscore Xavier Worthy and Kyle Pitts?
You're going to have to hit on the receiver.
You're going to have to hit on him 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's I'm kind of leaning the Worthy and Pitts. I think it's a good trade. And either side could win this by a ton, or it could be super even by next year. So I think I'm gonna take Worthy and Pitts, but I'm gonna be scared about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's a good thing that like we don't know. That means it's a good trade. It means you guys probably all got the people you actually like. So good for you, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So
that's all that matters. Yeah,
yeah. Get the players you like Travis Etienne. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. John, thank you for doing your like third show in a row tonight and joining us. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
John McLinn, John McLinn 75 on X. I'm very sorry that Russ Fisher walked away from the Dynasty Outhouse walked away from this show because listening to his voice the last couple of years has been, you know, I started a show because of like the stuff that Russ does. Like he started a league of like, he started like these trade addicts leagues. I started home dynasty leagues and based a show around something that Russ did. He kind of inspired me a little bit to do like the things I do now. And like, I am infantile level of Russ Fisher. One day I'll be Russ Fisher. One day when I grow up, I'm going to be Russ Fisher, but I'm like already 50. So it's, you know, it's probably past already, you know, that kind of stuff. But I enjoy what I do, but like Russ was the one that kicked off this stuff to do a lot of stuff you see on a lot of like podcasts and YouTube channels and fantasy football shows is stuff that Russ Fisher thought of first, you know? So I'm going to give him to be on the first show without Russ, man. It's cool, but it kind of sucks at the same time because I miss having Russ like on this channel kind of thing, you know? So, and like I said, the best theme song in the world, you know, it's the best everything of, I could literally sing the Trade Addicts song right now. I don't want to be like a Brian Harr and get like made fun of the next 10 years because I sing this shit, you know, like whatever. But man, Russ, thanks a lot for everything you did for the fantasy football community. And, you know, you're still involved in Fantasy Cares, which is huge, that kind of stuff. But John McGlynn 75, I do a dynasty evaluation show because of Russ Fisher. And I am on Fantasy and Frames. I'm available to, you know, fill in, jump in. I have a lot of days off, so if ever somebody bails on you guys or if you can't find a host, I'll jump on her every week if you got a space for me. This is awesome. You guys are both great. So thanks a lot for having me tonight.
Perfect. Well, you're always welcome. Our stuff, patreon.com/TradeXPod. You can watch us while we record. See our beautiful faces. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And of course, the big stuff is Fantasy Cares right now. I have been watching. I don't think there's a lot of big things going on at the moment. I know they're doing March Madness event sometime down the line. They'll be doing Master stuff. Joey Wright is doing a trivia show on Mondays, which is very fun. I almost won last night. I was so close. Russ was on it last night. Go check it out. The Dynasty Hootenanny that records on Tuesday nights, and they do their Wednesday live on YouTube on Wednesday nights. So go check out everything Fantasy Cares and everything Russ is doing. You can still see Russ on a few of those programs. So
one thing I wanted to add, Frank, before we finish up, that we don't usually do. We put out a tweet yesterday. If anyone's interested in coming on, we're lazy and we don't like booking guests. So if you want to book yourself and DM us, I'm at Dynasty FF Addict on Twitter and Blue Sky. Frank is, you're at Frank in the chat and both.
On both, yep.
Yeah. So if you want to DM either of us, you want to come on. We've said it many times. Anybody who ever asks to come on is come on. You don't even have to be necessarily a content creator as long as you know what the hell you're talking about. So
Rocky and I were.
Yeah.
So
sorry, Frank. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, no, that's
perfect. I figured I'd just throw it out there because to try and get us more weeks booked so I don't have to worry about asking people.
I'm default number one guest on every show, okay? Just in case.
There we go.
But anyway, I'm number one default.
Absolutely. Well, that's all we got. So we'll catch everyone next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. That is the best. See ya.